Hey y'all, I'm Carrie.
Hey y'all, I'm Mandy.
And this is Monstrous.
This episode contains topics and language that may not be suitable for all listeners, and topics that may be triggering for some. Listener discretion is advised.
So good. Okay, ready?
Ready.
God, that was great. Okay. All right, so we are back from our little mini vacation. And from the intro, obviously, Mandy's back.
Whoop, whoop.
So we hope everyone had a great Christmas and celebrated the new year responsibly. I know I needed the break after the craziness that I had between the holidays, work, and then Logan's birthday.
Right.
So that was nice. We were also able to get a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
And get our shit semi together. And then Mandy had some time with her family to work through some things that they had going on. And then she got to spend time with her first grandson that was born while she was away.
Yep.
His little fat, chunky self.
I know. He's so chunky. So cute.
Oh, he's adorable, though. Okay, so as per our last episode, we have some exciting news to share with everyone. As normal, and Mandy, this is new for you because this changed while you were gone, our regular full case episodes will release every other Monday.
Okay.
And then starting what will be next week for you guys listening, because we're recording this ahead. So starting next Wednesday, which will be February 12th, we will release what we're going to call mini monsters in between those full length episodes.
Right.
So these ones are going to be a mixture of different topics. Some months, so like for the month of February, for the most part, they'll all four episodes will be full length just because of the topics we're going to discuss. But typically, they'll just be, you know, short, like 30 minute episodes. Everything from myths to hauntings. And these episodes will cover some more of the dark Disney tales. We'll also have some mini true crime cases that can't really fit into a full 45 minutes. We'll cover some influential people, some strange anomalies like the Boleyn sisters, Typhoid Mary, and the Silent Twins, just to name a few. So you'll get kind of everything with those little ones. So we're excited to bring everything that we all love, everything from true crime to the spooky, strange, and the mysterious. So, if you don't have anything to add, we'll get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. So, this episode is going to be controversial.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But, you know, me, who I am, we're going to discuss it.
Dive into it.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be talked about. So, some people are going to believe that us as white women should not talk about this topic. But I feel that it is something that should be discussed more and attention should be brought to it in order to keep it from happening again. So much of our history is not talked about in school. And I feel that it is our job as older generations and ones that grew up in a different time than what our kids are growing up in today, to bring it up, to talk about it, and to educate the generations that are to come after us and those that will come after our own children. So, that being said, if Black history is not something that you like to hear about, then this and the next few episodes are probably not going to fit what you want to hear. But for those that feel as Mandy and I do, and want to learn more about not only Black history, but also more about the history of the U.S. as a whole, then sit tight, get comfy, and listen up, because here we go. So, as we all know, this month is Black History Month, and it is one that I believe we should honor. We are, obviously, as we have stated before, two white women, but the injustice for the Black community hits hard for each of us. One of my younger sisters is mixed, and I grew up as a member of her dad's family, and I often lived within predominantly Black neighborhoods. Mandy, your grandson is mixed, along with other family members being Black as well.
Correct.
So, for us, seeing the injustice that does happen still today within our systems for Black Americans is a hard pill to swallow. Many turned a blind eye to it, and us being who we are, growing up within the Black community, and seeing this type of behavior happen firsthand ourselves, we can't ignore what's being seen and done right in front of us. The ignorance that once plagued our country is again rearing its ugly head. And as I said in our very first episode, it is time that we as a whole look to the past and come together as one. And to do that, we must first admit and acknowledge the past, all the good and all the bad, because it is our history. And the world will continue to hate each other and point blame until we all see that no color matters more than another. We're all human and all should be treated as such. So I felt it only fitting for us, for our place within the Black community, to honor Black History Month, even if we as white women have no real history in it.
I agree.
So there are, of course, as everyone knows, tons of cases that we could discuss in order to do this. They range from historical events to influential people within the Black community, all the way to true crime cases. There isn't a lack of cases that hit the Black community more than our own. So each of the...
You broke again.
So each week this month, we will be covering a case that shows the road for Black Americans. These cases won't cover everything, nor hit on all of the issues that still appear today within the justice system for Black people. But my hope is that it will bring awareness to our country's history and show that although there is still a lot of work to be done, we as a whole have come a long way from where we began, as well as to honor and pay our respects to all those that unjustly lost their lives to the ignorance of other people. So, to kick it off, I have a big case and a lot of facts to throw at you.
Great.
Which, I mean, it's not really not normal, so.
Yeah, that's not normal. I mean, that's how you always are with your cases.
I just kind of, I get a bone and I just go with it. Okay, so today I'm going to tell you about the Red Summer of 1919. And the several race riots and violence that took place in just a few months. So, in our very first episode, the Tulsa Race Massacre, I had briefly mentioned the Red Summer of 1919, but I didn't really go into detail. So, here I'm going to tell you more about the whole summer, basically. Though many would argue that the Red Summer of 1919 isn't a true crime topic, while myself and many others would say that it is. By today's standards, these riots and the deaths that happened were done so unjustifiably, and each life taken was done so by murderous hands that took place all because of hate and ignorance. It is no secret that life in America for Black Americans has been filled with violence from the very beginning. And when we talk about Black history, we must do so carefully. There must be a balance. We have to be honest about the violence that shaped so much of the Black experience in our country without suggesting that Black Americans' lives is singularly defined by that said violence. So it's a very thin line that you gotta walk very carefully. And we're gonna do our best to ensure that each of these stories told, not just today, but for the remainder of the month, are done so in a way that does not define anyone in any of our cases, because although Black Americans have had a rough go at it in this country, it does not define who they are in any way. So, since we've all been to school and taken history class, at least I would hope, we all know that World War I ended in 1919. But when soldiers returned from home, they realized that there was a war brewing right here on our own land, and that they had just left one war to come home to another. In the summer of 1919, an outbreak of racial violence occurred, dubbing it the Red Summer. This was an event that would affect more than 36 cities across the United States. Following the dispatch home of millions of military men, the racial tensions in the U.S. grew. The competition for work in a post-war world, combined with the fast-changing social world, put white and black Americans in a conflict with each other, which led to tragic events nationwide. World War I had intensified the migration for Black Americans who moved from the rural South to the industrial North and Midwest parts of the country in hopes of escaping poverty and the discrimination that came with Jim Crow laws. So this is known as the Great Migration. Which, when I hear it said that way, like, it sounds like animals are migrating.
Right.
I'm not sure why they call it that. I definitely would have chose something else, but whatever. So by the time summer of 1919 came around, 1 million Black Americans had settled into northern cities. And these Black newcomers were not widely accepted into their new communities. Most of the returning service members resented these men because they came home to learn that the job they had left behind had been filled in their absence. And now they had no way to care for their families. This was worsened by the already bad reputation that the Black community had because during times of strike, they would come in and work while the white men would go on strike, making their striking efforts worth nothing in the end. Which, I mean, they have families that they have to feed too.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to take whatever job you can get. So I want to note, though, that white men were not the only ones affected by these jobs being filled in their absence. There were tens of thousands of Black veterans returning home at the exact same time. And they, too, had to find new work. There were 365,000 Black Americans drafted for World War I. So, not including white men. Of these 367,000 Black veterans that were returning home, they all had to find new work too. So it wasn't a color problem. It was a problem across the entire country for everyone. But for whatever reason, these white men in 1919 seen it as a color problem rather than a country problem.
They just wanted something to complain about.
Exactly. They just wanted a reason to hate somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So this fact, however, didn't make their white counterparts feel any less angry. Many white people had actually feared that the Black veterans returning home would not be willing to resubmit to traditional political or to social subjugation in our own country because they had experience living abroad and with military training. Even though the white men returning had the exact same experience and training. Like, there was no worry that the white men would be able to come home and, you know, go back into normal everyday life. They weren't afraid that was going to happen. It makes absolutely no sense. So, most Black leaders at the time had encouraged returning servicemen to assert themselves and to fight for not only their rights, but the dignity and respect that they had earned through their service. Most Black veterans were widely mistreated, even attacked while still in their uniforms.
That's insane.
The number of lynchings had increased in the year of 1919, following the veterans' return home, going from 64 the year before to 83. So you didn't want to go and fight for your country, but you're mad because these Black men were drafted and went and fought for it and are now coming home and have families they have to take care of. You're mad at them for that. I cannot, like, comprehend that at all. Literally makes no sense to me. So most of the violence during the Red Summer of 1919 was not initiated by white supremacist groups, as many people would believe. Because during this time, you know, you had the KKK running rampant and, you know, all that. Most of these mobs were actually made up by ordinary white civilians and veterans.
Wow.
Yeah, they weren't even a part of these groups.
Right.
And they're the ones out here just making chaos. It's ridiculous. So many of the dozens of violent incidences across the nation were made worse because local, state, and even federal officials had hesitated in taking action. Some had even turned a blind eye completely to the violence. And the violence wasn't just in smaller cities either. The racial violence was widespread in many of the nation's most popular cities. Many know the major cities in which the summer of 1919 got its name. But this turmoil actually started that spring, not in the summer. The riots in the spring were much smaller in comparison, but they all ultimately led to one of the deadliest summers in American history. These riots officially began on April 13th. This one is known as the Riot of Jenkins County, after a black man killed two white police officers during a traffic stop after an altercation had taken place. In response to this, a white mob burned the town. Which, I just want to say, what do you gain from burning your entire town?
Nothing.
How does that benefit you? That is not something that I've ever been able to wrap my head around. Okay, you want to riot and act like an idiot? You go right ahead. Why are you setting fire to your entire town?
Stupid.
So anyway, in the end, this altercation and initial death led to 6 deaths total and the destruction of a Baptist church and 3 black Masonic lodges in Mylene, Georgia, and several other properties. Following this, on May 10th, the Charleston riot happened, which this is a big one. Most people know about this one. So this event involved U.S. Navy members and the local black community. The riot began because 5 sailors felt as though they had been cheated by a black man, and because they couldn't find him, the group of men decided that they would take it out on every member of the local black community. So they're looking for one individual person that they felt cheated them, and because they couldn't find him, they're like, oh, fuck it. We'll just attack the whole black community here.
Ignorance at its finest.
Like, okay. Like, this guy probably doesn't even know these people. Sure. Fucking idiot. Anyway, so this event had claimed the lives of 6 people and left dozens injured. Following this riot, the city of Charleston, South Carolina, had imposed martial law. After a naval investigation was completed, it was found that 4 U.S. sailors and 1 civilian had been the ones to initiate the riot. So then July rolls around, and summer is in full swing by this time. But as we all know, the violence did not end in South Carolina. On July 3rd in Bisbee, Arizona, local police attacked the 10th U.S. Cavalry. This was a unit of the U.S. Army that had been formed in 1866 for black men that joined the military. They were known as the Buffalo Soldiers. This event is known as the Bisbee Riot. After a confrontation between some of the Buffalo Soldiers and a policeman, the situation had escalated into a street battle between military personnel and the local police. We know that, which, let me just say, could you imagine seeing that? Even by today's standards, could you imagine seeing military personnel and the local police just having it out in the street?
No.
You wouldn't know which fucking side to pick.
Uh-uh.
Like, not making light of the situation, but, like, you wouldn't know what to do. So, we know that at least 8 people were seriously injured in the Bisbee riot. And at least 50 soldiers were arrested for what happened. I didn't find anything anywhere that any of the local white police officers were arrested. But they arrested at least 50 military soldiers. So now we head to Texas. The Longview race riot began on July 10th and ended July 12th. When white men attacked the black areas of town, they burned several properties, including the homes of a teacher and a doctor, and left one man dead. The riot ended after the local and state officials imposed military authority to end any further violence. In the aftermath, it was revealed that at least four men had died, and the black housing district in the town was completely destroyed. The next smaller riot, for a lack of a better term, is Garfield Park Riot. This riot happened inside Garfield Park, which is located in Indianapolis, Indiana, on July 14th. So only 2 days later. In the wake of the racial tensions, people everywhere were on their toes about everything. And everyone around them, and just like the adults, the youth of this time were afraid as well. A group of white kids were walking and believed that they were being followed by a group of black kids. And so, in their fear, or ignorance, or whatever you want to call it, they escalated things quickly. Hundreds of white boys aged 16 to 19 years old converged on Garfield Park. These boys used bricks and clubs to beat any black person they came across.
What the hell?
Yeah. So that's why I said, out of ignorance, fear, whatever, this is what happened. A group of black people found shelter in a house of a local man. Well, the white mob followed them. In hopes that it would end things, he fired a couple shots into the crowd. You know, like, get the fuck out of here, basically.
Right.
Because of that, a 7-year-old girl had received a flesh wound, and an 18-year-old boy was shot as well. So it wasn't necessarily the smartest decision for the man to make. But
it wasn't on purpose.
No, he didn't shoot anyone on purpose. It wasn't necessarily the smartest, just because there were so many people and somebody was bound to accidentally get hurt. But I could get why he did that. You know, he's trying to help these kids. And then here's these hundreds of other kids surrounding his house. I'm sure he was afraid.
Right.
Kids are in his house terrified. So he just kind of shot off like, hey, I'm warning you, get out of here, hoping that they would just run away. So police eventually did decide to show up. They dispersed the crowd and the riot ended. So now that we've gotten through the smaller riots, air quote, smaller riots, this leads us to the events that are most associated with the summer of 1919. Because the ones I just told you about, most people don't associate them with this year. On July 19th, so only 5 days following the Garfield Park incident, started what would turn into a 4-day riot in Washington, D.C. This riot started when a rumor that a black man had assaulted a white woman got around town. This rumor incited mobs that went on to attack local black neighborhoods, assault black men and women, just walking the street. Those that led the mobs were off-duty sailors and recently discharged Army veterans. By the time local police had finally became overwhelmed by the mayhem, okay, so they let it keep going until they themselves were overwhelmed with it. Like, okay, this is too much. We're done now. Washington's black community had banded together to fight back and began to arm themselves with things like bats, clubs, guns, and knives. Black mobs had then began to attack the community's white residents just as the whites were doing to the black members of Washington's population. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, the way I said it was weird. In nearby Norfolk, Virginia, there was a parade celebrating the return of a unit of black veterans from Europe, but the celebration would not last long. This would turn into a bloody, chaotic scene where two black servicemen were killed and over 150 other people being either murdered or injured by the time the riot was over. After 4 days of chaotic bloodshed, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson had ordered nearly 2,000 troops to secure the streets and end the racial violence. It took 4 days for the president to do something. 4 days.
That's fucking crazy.
Like, excuse me, sir, I feel like maybe you should have done that before now.
Right.
So following Washington, there was a massive riot in Chicago. Only 8 days, 8 days after the riot in Washington began, on July 27th, a black teenage boy had drowned in Lake Michigan after he was hit with stones when he and his friends had accidentally drifted near a de facto whites-only beach. Over 1,000 witnesses demanded an arrest. But, of course, the police did nothing. This was the last straw for Chicago's black residents, and the fighting began. Violent riots had spread across Chicago's south and west sides, and then bled into the downtown area. And just like in Washington, this lasted for a few days. After white mobs had formed and began to beat black people in the streets and burn their homes, local police stood by and did nothing to aid them against the white mobs. This was when black veterans stepped in to help by forming their own militia. Eventually, the state militia was deployed to restore order in the area. Records for the Chicago riot vary, but according to what I found, the final Chicago fatality count listed 23 black and 15 white people were killed over the course of just a few days, and 537 others were injured. And in upwards of 1,000 black families were left homeless, all caused by the burning and the rampant destruction of the black neighborhoods in Chicago.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Yep. And it could have all been avoided if the police would have done something when the teenage boy and his friends had accidentally just like, it's water.
Right.
Drifted. What are they supposed to do? Tell the water, no, don't take me over here? Like, and he was hit in the head with a stone and he ended up drowning. And there were, like I said, there were thousands of people that seen this happen. There were witnesses to show, yeah, they just drifted over here and somebody threw a rock at him. They did nothing. If they would have done something, that would have never happened. Or at least not then anyway. It's awful. The final riot that occurred in the summer of 1919 is one of the most deadliest incidences that occurred during the Red Summer, aside from the Tulsa Race Massacre, of course, which we covered in our first episode. For anyone that hasn't heard it yet, the very first episode we released, and I did a deep dive into it. This incident occurred in and around Elaine, Arkansas, from September 30th to October 1st. This racial violence began when a white police officer was killed in a shootout outside of a black sharecropper gathering. Governor Charles Breaux, I'm pretty sure that's how you say it, but I might be saying that wrong, had ordered 500 Army soldiers from the nearby Camp Pike to march in on Elaine and, quote, put down what was then labeled as a, quote, insertion among the black sharecropper. Yep, that was a direct quote words. So like most of these incidences of violence, the estimates varies as to how many lives were truly lost. But it is believed that an upwards of 200 black Elaine residents were killed in just those couple days. It's truly impossible to say exactly how many lives were lost or how many others were injured during the Red Summer of 1919. The official records of this time were poorly kept and oftentimes not even documented, as we've seen in the Tulsa episode.
Right.
So we know hundreds of lives were taken, thousands were injured, and even more were either forced to flee their homes or lost everything they owned. In 1918, the dire anti-lynching bill, before I say this is going to piss you off because it pissed me off, and I'm sure it's going to piss some listeners off. In 1918, the dire anti-lynching bill was passed. This was the first of the 200 anti-lynching bills that would follow that was passed in the United States. And although these laws are a big part of how the violence would eventually end, it's important to know that since the 200 anti-lynching bills that were passed in 1918, there have been no other anti-lynching legislation passed since. I wish everybody could see your face right now.
I don't know what to say.
Yep. Which, lynchings aren't a thing of today, okay?
Right.
I'm aware of that. Like, we know that. They haven't been a thing for a very, and I hate to even say, like, been a thing, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they revise and add new updated laws all the time.
Right.
Nobody felt at all since 1918, hey, maybe we should revise these or put in some new updated ones. There are 201 anti-lynching bills that are currently active in the United States, and every single one of them was passed in 1918. We are in 2025. How does nobody in Congress see an issue with that?
They don't care.
So in 1913, before the anti-lynching bills were passed, Billie Holiday performed a song that would become iconic. Strange Fruit captured the terror of Black lynchings. In her song, she stated, quote, "Southern trees that are strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black body swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree." Like, just that one section of that song, like, is so deep. And unless you know what was going on during the time that this song was written and performed, I don't think most people put two and two together in order to realize what exactly her song was about.
Right.
So there's one legacy that came from the summer of 1919, though. Despite all the tragedy and the unjust violence that reigned through our country that summer, the Black community nationwide had found the strength to fight back. The Red Summer of 1919 brought forth Black populations fighting aggressively against racial violence and the intimidation thrust upon them, and this was done so in a way that had never been seen before. The white population had believed that this violence would intimidate Black people back into submission, but instead they saw their Black counterparts emerge as one and stand strong against the violence with a shared purpose, identity, and pride amongst them. In a dark time of our history, this community found the confidence and the desire to fight in the street, in the courts, and within the voting booths to get what they knew that they should have been given from the very beginning. This summer fostered the strength that was found in Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, and so many others. This strength and confidence we still see today. Though our nation has once again been torn apart by race through what white and Black people should or should not do, it's times like this that we look back on and see how bad racial hate and violence can get and just how fast it escalates. It is this part in history that we all must look back on and make a change before history repeats itself. Rather than fighting against one another and pinning race against race, we must learn from those before us and come together as so many did during the Red Summer of 1919 to fight against those that wish we would go backwards rather than forwards. The Red Summer of 1919 may have ended, but the fight against racial injustice didn't end that summer. We still see Black people struggling today in every way. It is a fact that we are all afforded many of the same opportunities. And though it may not be me or you or any of our listeners that makes this hard to accomplish, it is instead our system. There are still many people out there that believe the world should go back to how it was before the 1900s. And because of that thinking, Those that are not white have to fight in a way that they should not have to in order to achieve what others gain so easily. Our world today is divided in a way that our generations have never seen before. And sadly, I see these riots once again happening much sooner than we think. Just as we appreciate women and acknowledge the struggles that they have had to go through even to today, the same should be done for Black Americans. Their journey to gain the same rights, respect, and dignity that white Americans have was not easy. It was a fight they never should have had to endure, but that fight, I believe, has taught us all that if we come together as one, as a whole with a common goal, then nothing is impossible. So I hope that everyone learned a little more about the facts behind racial violence, but Black history isn't just about bringing attention to topics like I just told you about. It is also to honor those that made leaps and bounds, those that fought for Black rights, and even those still today that still do not receive justice within our systems as their white counterparts do. So many lives have been lost, and so many families have had to restart, all so that those that are living today can live a better life than they themselves did. And we all, no matter your race, should honor that. So, like I said at the beginning, each week this month, we are going to bring you a case that covers something, a historical event, an important person in history, a true crime case, or just something that needs attention brought to it, whether it's justice or the lack of justice for someone in the Black community. We hope that our listeners will listen, maybe learn something new, and hopefully engage in the discussion of these topics. But we all have our own views and opinions, and we just ask that everyone respect each other and be kind, because in today's world, that is what we need more than anything. I believe that those of us living today can look back and learn from those that have lived not only through the summer of 1919, but before and since. The summer of 1919 itself shows just how much white Americans pushed back against the idea of Black Americans coming into what they believed to be theirs and having the same rights that they had. These white Americans believed that white mob violence would show Black Americans that they, quote, needed to stay in their place. But they refused. Despite the violence they faced, Black Americans all across the country continued to work and push to live in a world that they knew they deserved to live in. And for these Americans, no assault, no violence, no law, or no mob would stop them. This bravery, strength, and determination is something we all should strive for in today's world. Jesus Christ.
You're broken today.
I wrote this shit too, and I still fucked up. That's the sad part. The Black community of 1919. I wrote it, and I can't even read it.
Bless you.
The Black community of 1919 came together as one to fight a common enemy and to better themselves. This is something that we all today can learn from in a world that is falling apart at the seams, and that has once again become divided, can become whole again. But it takes the same bravery, strength, and determination as that of the Black Americans in the red summer of 1919.
That was a good one.
Thank you. There was definitely more that could be added into it, but it probably would have been like 50 years long. So I have all of my sources. If anybody wants to look more into it, I know, you know, there's books on Amazon available on Kindle that are out there. I believe there's a couple movies or like documentaries about the summer that goes into way more depth about each of the riots. And I'm sure that there's probably riots that I did not mention, because like I said at the beginning, it's over 36 cities that all of these riots and violence affected. So there's definitely way more than what I talked about out there.
That's a rough one.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The next one's not like full of violence, but that one's a rough one, too.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Got a lot more facts and statistics in the next one. Oh, all right. So do you have anything else? Any final thoughts or comments before we go?
No, it was just pure ignorance.
Yeah. Like a lot of it, I'm just like, my brain, I don't understand it. I can't make it make sense. The math is not math in there.
I can't understand not liking somebody that much, let alone not liking or hating somebody that much because of their, because of the way they look.
Right, exactly. Like, it's not their fault.
Right. Like, I don't understand it.
I don't understand how anybody can hate someone else because of how they look. I didn't ask to look like this.
Right.
It's just how I look. Like, people at work are always, Carrie, why do you always look so mean? That's why people don't talk to you. First off, okay, I don't want people to talk to me anyway. Okay, I'm not a people person. Second of all, I can't help it. This is just how my face looks. If you don't like it, don't look at it. It's that simple. There's one guy at work. He's always, you know, Carrie, he was like, why don't you smile? He was like, you always look like you're about ready to just beat somebody's ass. My face is my people deterrent. Okay.
It's resting bitch face.
Right. Exactly. It's my people deterrent. Because if I look mean, people won't just come up to me and start talking to me.
Right.
He just laughed at me and told me I was stupid. Okay, so we'll be back next week for our next episode. As always, our sources and photos can be found on our Facebook page. You can find that link in the description. Make sure you give us a rate and a review. Don't forget to subscribe so you can get notifications when new episodes are released. And we hope you keep listening and remember to...
and watch for monsters.
And don't kill people. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.